we're going to look at some things from the Word of God tonight about divine healing. And at the end of this Bible study, I'm hoping I can cut it a little short tonight so we can have some time at the end of the Bible study to have just an unhurried time of prayer for those that would like to be anointed with oil and have prayer offered for the healing that God has provided in His Word. I'm glad that his arm is not shortened. They cannot save. Neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. God is able to reach down in this place tonight on Wednesday night and touch people and heal their bodies. He's able to do that. And Glenda Crump, I tell you what, I'm still rejoicing. Good to just share the joy of the Lord with you and John about the good things that God did for you this weekend. And, I want to ask you to pray with me right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I believe that you have been dealing with me, Lord, for 2 or 3 weeks about doing something like this. I thought it was you, but Lord, today, God, you made it clear. You made it clear that the way we were to go with this service tonight. And I want to pray, Lord God, that you will help us, everyone in this room, to realize, God, that divine healing has just very little to do with us and a whole lot to do with you. God, if we have been led astray by the misconception that we have got to have a high level of intensity and full throttle and a volume that will blast us out of the building and every other thing that goes with the old-fashioned camp meeting, tent revivals, and citywide crusades. If we think we've got to have that, Lord, for there to be healing, Lord, we've been led astray. Jesus, you're the healer. And Lord, I'm praising you in advance, Lord God. I'm not opposed, Lord, to feeling good. I'm not opposed to shouting and praising. I'm not opposed to that. But help us, please, Lord, help us tonight to get it in our minds, to get it established in our hearts tonight, Lord, that you are the healer and you walk among us. And Lord, you're here among us. And you're going to honor your word tonight. And somebody, Lord, is going to leave out of this place tonight with a healing touch. I pray, Father, for those who need that healing touch to determine right now, Lord God, might as well be me. Might as well be me that walks out of here with a healing touch from heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Would you just lift your hands and thank him tonight? Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I love you tonight, Father God. I love you tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. Man has a twofold nature. He is both a material and a spiritual being. And both natures have been affected by the fall of man. Our bodies are exposed to disease. Our souls had been corrupted by sin. But then Jesus came. They call him the Redeemer. Hallelujah. He came to facilitate the complete scheme of redemption, and that includes both natures, the physical realm and the spiritual realm. He provides for the restoration of physical as well as the renovation of spiritual life. That's our healer. That's what He does. Hallelujah. The Redeemer appears among men with His hands stretched out to our misery, to our need, to our longings, to our yearnings. And He offers both salvation and healing. Those who know the Greek language tell me that the Greek word sozeo includes not just the salvation of mankind, but the healing as well. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. It's there. He offers Himself to us as Savior to the uttermost. I like that. His indwelling spirit, the life of our spirit, His resurrection body is the life of our mortal flesh. He saves, as someone said, He saves from the uttermost to the guttermost. I'm glad He's the Savior. He's the Savior. Jesus began His ministry by healing all that had need of healing. He closed His ministry on this earth by making on the cross a full atonement for our sin, and then issued what is known as the Great Commission. We look at it, Mark chapter 16. Verse 15 through 18. Let's take a look at that. This is King James Version. And He said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In My name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Let me be quick to point out that the scripture that says they shall take up serpents doesn't mean you should go looking for a snake. Had someone in Tahlequah ask me, does your church believe in handling snakes? I said, yes, we do, with a hoe or a shovel. Anything we can get our hands on, we handle snakes. You better believe it. Scripture doesn't mean that you should go looking for a snake to prove how spiritual you are. What it does mean, and Dr. George O. Wood testified about his old daddy that went out when he was in the mission field in China. He wasn't bitten by a snake, but the poison part of this, they tried to poison him. They fed him enough poison to kill a horse, and it didn't kill him. And it opened some eyes to some Chinese people that there must be something to this Jesus stuff. And I'm glad there is something to this Jesus stuff, aren't you? Hallelujah. Something to it. Jude writes in verse 3 of his book, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And the good news is this. The faith that was once delivered unto the saints has never been rescinded. It is still within the domain of the church. Hallelujah. Praise God. One of the hardest things we Pentecostals, and I'm including myself in this, one of the hardest things for us to do is to separate faith from feeling. We are so feeling oriented, and I wouldn't trade that for anything. I'm thank God that we feel something. Praise the Lord. We feel Jesus. We feel Him. I was talking to somebody about the Lord the other day, and I looked down and there were little goosebumps all up and down. That's feeling. I'm glad you can feel. You walk in. I mean, this is not even anywhere in the notes. But I'll share something with you. I had the absolute sweetest time of prayer Monday morning right there I have ever had in my entire life. I can't begin to tell you how precious and sweet it was. I just sat there and I said, Lord, you know what? I'm not going to ask you for anything. I just need to be with you. I'm just going to sit here, Lord. My goodness, it was so sweet. Praise God. It wasn't boring. The joy, His presence. Glad we can feel. Yes, I am. But the faith that was once delivered to the saints has never been rescinded. And throughout church history, there have been those who have suggested that the God who healed in the New Testament no longer heals today. There are those who teach that and believe that. But may I just suggest to you that that premise is totally lacking of support in the Scriptures. It's not there. That teaching is not there. The Great Commission was simply because the 12 apostles left the stage of action. Through the years, whenever the church has experienced the fires of revival, healing has always followed in the miracles, healings of all kinds. And then you have conviction of sin. Sinners begin to get saved. People begin to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's what they call used to call revival. It's what they used to call Holy Ghost revival, is when God just settled into a congregation and started doing stuff. Amen. And nobody was directing Him what to do. He just did it because people were honoring Jesus and lifting Him up, and God just started doing stuff. Isn't it amazing? It was kind of in a comical sort of way tonight before church started, talking with somebody about a vision that God laid on their heart. And she, I asked this person, I said, how long has that been incubating inside your heart? She said, 4 years. And she said, finally, I gave up and turned it over to God, and it happened. And I told her, I said, you know what? I've offered my services to the Lord many times, my advice to Him and how it ought to be done. And how many has ever done that? Oh, bless your heart. I was feeling so lonely, but now I feel so blue. Let's just take a brief overview of healing in both the Old and New Testament. Psalm chapter 105, verse 37 and 38. Talking about the Exodus, says, He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Egypt was glad when they departed. Wow. If that is not an encapsulation of Pentecost, I don't know anything at all. They're glad to get rid of these guys. Amen. Praise the Lord. Not one feeble person among their tribes. Can you imagine? Can you visualize what that must have been like? What that must have been like. Everyone that was sick, everyone that was too incapacitated to travel, crippled, blind, a mass healing service as they left Egypt. One little lady says, I would just hold you back. I can't walk anymore. I'm crippled. And just go on. Just leave Egypt. Leave me behind. I don't want to be a detriment to you. And somebody told Joshua about it. And Joshua came to talk to her and said, you know, if I heard Moses right and if he heard God right, we're all supposed to leave. Said, you get ready, you're going with us. And she says, well, if that's the way it is, I guess I will. And she starts to use her cane and a walker and whatever she could get a hold of to support herself to just barely creep along. And all of a sudden, she found out that not one feeble person among their tribe. She was healed and began to shout and praise God. Is that awesome or what? Hallelujah. Not one feeble person. Exodus chapter 15, verse number 26, a very telling scripture. He said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God and wilt do that which is right in his sight, will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Hallelujah. I am Jehovah Rophika. The Lord that healeth thee. This was probably one of the earliest directives that the Lord gave after the children of Israel had left Egypt. It was this one right here. He said, I want you to know that what I'm doing, I'm saving you. I want to make a nation out of you. But I want you to also know I'm the Lord that healeth you. I want you to know me as that. Not just as deliverer, not just as someone that was a strong force to get you out of bondage, but I want you to know I am the Lord who heals you. And he still wants us to know today that he is the Lord who heals us. Amen. Now, you say, what does any of this have to do with us in 2008? The promise of future healings was given immediately after the Israelites had crossed the Red Sea. Now, there is actually a New Testament connection here, and it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. The pilgrimage in the wilderness by the Israelites was typical of our journey in life. And that fact gives powerful meaning to a verse in the New Testament, the one that's on the screen right now. Now all these things happened unto them, the Israelites, for examples. And they are written for our, that's us, admonition, upon the whom the ends of the world had come. Now, if under the law, if under that dispensation, God would heal and say, I want you to know me as a healer. Under the days of grace, the dispensation of grace, I believe God still wants us to know him as a healer. Are you with me? Amen. So, yeah, we connect with that. The ancient promise of healing is a promise extended to those of us who live in the church age as well. Praise God. We find in James chapter 5, verse 13 through 16, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And here's verse 16. It's just a little added bonus. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There is so much power in that little cluster of scriptures. It's unimaginable. You can't wrap your mind around it. Confess your faults one to another. First of all, if you got a church that you can trust confessing your faults one to another, you got a church where Jesus Christ is doing stuff. You don't just tell your faults to everybody, and you won't tell your faults to everybody. But I like this because when you confess your faults one to another, it means you have more than surface relationships. You've got trusted relationships. You'll trust people with your reputation. You'll trust people with your life. You may have blown it so bad that it's unbelievable how bad you've blown it. But yet you don't want to drop out. You want to be part of the family of God. You want healing. You want grace. And fortunate is that person that can find in the body of Christ where they worship regularly with someone they can trust with their life, with their reputation, and they can confess the fault to that brother or that sister, and they can say in return, you know, I love you still. You know that, don't you? Let's just pray about this. And you pray together, and there's a healing that takes place. Is that good? That's good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, about this, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. There is a dynamic there that needs to be mentioned. And that dynamic simply is this. When you call for prayer, from your church family, there is an element of faith that is introduced into the mix immediately. It's different. Now you say, why don't you just go to the hospital and empty the hospital out? Because I ain't been asked. You know, but when someone in the body of Christ is sick and they call for the elders of the church, hey, I need help. I need God's touch. Immediately there is a faith released. I can sense this. When I go to pray for somebody, that's called specific for prayer. Because, you know, it's, you know, some people are waiting for their minister to get a revelation from God that you're sick. But that's not scriptural. Scripture says, let them call for the elders of the church. Let the elders of the church anoint them with oil and pray for them. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. So there is a dynamic there. And also, let me just tell you this, those of you that are married, those of you that have a Christian companion, there is a dynamic involved in that that we have missed out on too often. Husband and wife praying for someone releases an element of faith that simply is not there if it's just one of the partners. Bible says that their prayers be not hindered. And I have found that I draw faith from Helen as my companion for all these years. I trust her. She's a woman of God. And when we go to pray for someone, if she's by my side, my faith is more than doubled. Because she's there, it's immediately doubled. But praise God, it just takes off and soars. When I shut my mouth and quit praying and listen to her, wow, God, you're going to do it, ain't you? Praise the Lord. Anybody else ever have that kind of experience? Yeah, several of you have. It's powerful. It's glorious. Amen. Praise the Lord. God's excited, lost my place. Psalm 103, verse 1 through 5. This is Old Testament stuff here. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. There's so much contained in the scripture that we just breeze right over. And miss. I looked in depth at this today a little bit more than I usually do. He heals all our diseases. And this verse 4 and 5 about redeeming the life from destruction, I want you to note the references associated with the healing process. Number one, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. I've known many people over the years that went to the hospital to die, knew they were dying, but instead God was merciful and they recovered. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Secondly, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. How many of you realize that when you're just real good and sick, you don't want to eat? You know, and when healing comes, you can eat the bark off a tree. Your appetite returns. And so he satisfieth thy mouth with good things. Food tastes good again. Number three, thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Symbolizes strength and vitality that is once more enjoyed. The weakness of sickness is gone and the strength of healing flows in the body. And you're restored. How beautiful this is, the healing process. Isaiah 53 and 5, the old prophet Isaiah comes along and says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. What a promise that is. In his book, The Gospel of Healing, A.B. Simpson points out something I don't think I had ever seen about this passage in Isaiah. And that's the use of the word surely. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. I'd never seen that. I'd read it, sure I had. But I never had taken into heart that that's the only surely in this chapter. And it's used in connection with the promise of healing. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now then we go to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 8. Verse 16 and 17. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Matthew 4:23. Let's look at that. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Simon Peter comes along, and he takes advantage of all this, and he has something to say about Jesus being the healer. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Past tense. Isaiah was future tense, or present tense. Simon Peter puts it into the past tense and said, by his stripes, whose stripes you were healed. Now let's always remember one thing. Let's remember it well. It is the Lord who does the healing, not us. I'm old enough to remember the days when Oral Roberts was in his heyday. That Cherokee Indian boy that came so close to dying, and God healed him miraculously, lifted him up and raised him up and gave him a ministry of healing. And isn't it amazing how a lot of times what happens to people in their youth, in their younger years, and if God does something stupendous, miraculous, it seems to define the tone of their life in that particular area that God did for. Am I making any sense? What God did for them in a spectacular way, it seems like carries over to their adulthood, and that's the area that God seemingly uses them in. Oral Roberts was as good as dead. God healed him, raised him up, and he had a tremendous healing ministry, miracle ministry. And I went to church with a kid in Marlow that had been crippled since he was just a little boy, and it was a severe crippling. He couldn't walk at all, and I remember him with those old big old heavy braces on his lower body, and when he would come to raise up, it would be a real effort to get him up on his feet, his crutches, and he would walk, and you could hear him for a long, long way because the metal would rattle, and it was just. And he was such a sharp guy, a good-looking kid. And I remember his mother. You know, Oral Roberts came to Oklahoma City. Some of you probably remember this in 19, I don't remember when it was, late 50s, I think. Came to Oklahoma City, and I remember his mother testifying in the service. And she said, if I can just get him to Oral Roberts' meeting, I know he'll be healed. I wish I could tell you that he got healed, because I loved him. He's a friend of mine. But he didn't get healed. And yes, he did get to Oral Roberts, and he got in the prayer line, but he left a cripple. I would never try to explain, because I don't know the whys of stuff like that. All I do know is this, that it's not getting someone to a faith healer that brings healing. It's getting someone to Jesus. And almost every time you hear someone use the term faith healer, it's in a negative connotation. Immediately, your mind starts thinking about some greedy gut money grabber whose meetings resemble more a circus than it does a worship service. And it's always used in. But listen, I thank God for people who have been used in the area of divine healing and miracles. Thank God for those ministries. God put those ministries in the church, in the body of Christ. So I'm thankful for that. But it's not the faith healer. It's not the person who has that type of ministry. It's getting them to Jesus. That's what it's all about. And you may pardon me for this, but I believe, and Justin and I talked about this the other day when he was here, or he may have mentioned it in the service. He said, you know, I wondered about that time that they tore the roof off. And they let this guy down right in front of Jesus. So Jesus, they couldn't get the door, so they climbed up on the house, there's four of them, and they tore the shingles off, or whatever it was that was covering the roof, and they let this guy down with the ropes. And the question Justin raised the other day was, he said, you know, who fixed that roof? And, you know, I don't know who fixed it. But it's my opinion that whoever fixed that roof will have a reward in heaven. They were a part of that healing process. Tear somebody's roof off, leave a hole in the roof, and then tell them, yeah, I attend Grand Assembly. You know what they're going to think? I'll never go to that church. They tear people's roofs off. Getting a little wild here, but I think I got my point across. Jesus healed all manner of sickness. It is the Lord that does the healing. God uses people, however, common, ordinary people as instruments of healing. In my case, when I was 5 years old, had polio, spent a couple of 3 weeks in Crippled Children's Hospital. No strength in my legs, whatever. 1949, I was 5 years old at that time. Many of you have heard me tell this over and again, and I'll try to tell it as long as I live, because I'll never forget. Out on the front porch in my Granny Hatfield, little old short, you wouldn't want to send her out with a tent. She wouldn't make a good healing evangelist. She didn't have the look. Little short, fat. When she laughed, she shook. My mother and her were sitting on the front porch. I was scooting along on the seat of my pants. That's all the way I could get around. I just sit on the floor and scoot around. Couldn't stand. Couldn't even stand, much less walk. And mother and granny got to visiting. I don't know who said what to who, but one of them said to the other, you know, Jesus could heal him. And the other one said, you know, he could, couldn't he? And somebody said, let's pray. And they said, Larry, we're going to pray for you. And they prayed for me. They said, now try to get up. And I tried to get up, and my legs buckled, and I sagged back down on the floor. Well, those two little old plump women sitting on that front porch had some determination about them. They weren't through. They both began to speak in tongues. Spirit of God came on that front porch. They said, let's pray for him again. They got a hold of him and prayed for me. They said, Larry, see if he can get up. And I got up, and I was healed. And walking since then. Thank God, the Lord can heal. Jesus is the healer. Hallelujah. I will forever be indebted to him. Common, ordinary people. You're never going to hear the name Alice Hatfield. You're never going to hear my granny's name. Not in any kind of promotional material. Never going to see it. Common, ordinary folks. God used them as instruments of healing. Praise the Lord. What I'm saying is tonight, you got more faith in what you know you got. Amen. Amen. You've got more faith in what you think you have. Praise the Lord. God can use common people. It's often argued that healing was exclusively associated with Christ and the 12 apostles too. And yet at a time when the apostolic age was drawing to a close, we're given a sense of direction for the post-apostolic era. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3 through 6. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God. You get your Trinity right. Did you follow that? the same Spirit, verse 4, the same Lord, Jesus, verse 5, and the same God in verse 6. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, all three of them there. Hallelujah. It's the same God which worketh all in all. But then he comes along, verse 7, 1 Corinthians 12, 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. It's something you receive. It's something given to you. You don't decide you're going to go out and do it. It's given. It comes. He comes. He comes to us at the point of our need. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8 and 9. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. The gifts of healing, the gifts, plural. You say, is it a sign of unbelief when you go to the doctor? I don't think so. Sign of common sense. If you can get to the doctor and you need some help, they can help you. Luke was a beloved physician. If Jesus was going to condemn medical science, he would never have allowed Luke to write the gospel he wrote. Jesus never condemned for trying to feel better, to get healed. He never did that. The gifts of healing. The gifts of healing. Wow, I like that. Dr. Mark Rutland was the speaker at our minister's retreat back in May in Branson. You folks were so kind to send Helen and I up there for a little getaway. Dr. Mark Rutland has always been one of my very favorite preachers and or authors, a tremendous man of God. He's the president of Southeastern University, our Bible Institute University in Lakeland, Florida. And he made a statement, boy, that really did. It got me. He observed that the Great Commission doesn't begin with go ye. Boy, that got my attention. I've always thought, yeah, that's it. Go ye into all the world. He said, no, that's not where it begins. He used Matthew's gospel to emphasize the verse just prior to go ye. Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. Verse 18 says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Verse 19, go ye. You ain't hearing that. You didn't hear that. It zoomed right over your head. The premise for healing is not the fact that a bunch of people got up and went. The premise of divine healing and everything else that is embodied in the faith of the church and the miracles and the healing and the grace and the teaching is laid on the foundation of verse number 18 that says, all power is given unto me. You know why people get healed? Because Jesus got the power to do it. God gave it to Jesus, and Jesus sends us out and says, go. But you're not going under your own authority. You're going under the authority that the Father has invested in me. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always. Mark says, go ye therefore, heal the sick, cast out demons, do all this stuff. It's because I have the power. I give you the authority and the power. The words we use to describe the attributes of God and what God does and who God is sometimes become confusing. We sometimes we say the power, the authority. I mean, what's the big difference? Well, I'll tell you what the big difference is. The difference is, let me use this for an illustration. You've got a huge traffic problem. The chief of police knows he's got to get an officer out there and get an officer out there in a hurry to start directing traffic. He has a little lady on his police force that weighs 89 pounds. She would weigh 95 soaking wet. She owns a badge. She's wearing that badge. She has her uniform on. And the police chief says, go out to certain intersection. The lights are out. The traffic is going nuts. Go out there and direct traffic. So here this little 89 pound, well, she might have been 89 years old too. Could have been. 89 pound woman goes out to that intersection and she does the most outrageous, absurd thing you've ever seen in your life. She walks right out there in the middle of the road with a whistle in her mouth, a badge on her uniform, and she does right like this. And all of a sudden, there are 15 or 20 4,000-plus pound cars that come to a screeching halt because an 89-pound woman is standing out there in the middle of the road doing like this. She didn't have the power to do that, but she had the authority to do it. That badge, that uniform, said, you better stop. And people stopped. God gave all authority unto Jesus. And the good news is, at a time of His choosing, when He so desires to use any of us, the weakest Christian there is, whoever that might be, God has the ability, and He's done it time and again over the years, to use people that didn't have a lot of charisma. They didn't have a lot of this or that or the other. But He said, you know what? I have all authority. You're willing to go. Here's what I'm going to do. You lay hands on that person, and I'm going to do the healing. You just lay your hands on them and do what I tell you to do. I'm going to take care of the problems. Whew. Hallelujah. And Jesus is here tonight. Hallelujah. I'm not going to heal anybody. You're not going to heal anybody. But God may use you or He may use me to pray the prayer of faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, purposely tonight, I just assume that there not even be any music played or anything during this next segment, okay? The power is not in us, the power is in Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now, I know that we've got one gentleman that's come here tonight that's in need of prayer. Bobby Son, I know that you want to be prayed for. Brother, I hope what I've shared tonight has been a help to you, because I understand you need healing and you're reaching out to God. And I want to thank you for coming to this place tonight to be here. You know what? I just happen to believe that God's going to use somebody. Don't know who it's going to be to pray the prayer of faith. But I don't know about I don't know about others. There are probably others, but what I'd like to do tonight, I'd just like to just ask those of you that would like to have prayer. But we'll pray for people individually. I don't know how to do this, okay? But that seems, I don't want you up here wearing yourself out, standing, waiting. So we're going to pray. Hallelujah. And we're going to see what Jesus will do. We want Jesus to do some stuff tonight, don't we? Lord, I want to thank you so very much. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, I praise you. God, this is your word tonight that we've given. It's not mine, it's yours. And you're God. And I praise you, Lord. I don't want to be up here by myself, because I know there are a number of people here in this auditorium tonight that have ministries and have ministry gifts. And we have people in this room that have been healed by the power of God, and God has blessed you with healings down through the years, and he's blessed you as you laid hands on people and they prayed, and the people have been healed. So I'd like to ask, first of all, I want to ask my wife to come up here. I know I want Helen up here with me. Eugene, Mary Lynn, I want you to come up here. I'm not going to call everybody up here that I feel needs to be up here, but I definitely want you people up here to pray, to join prayer with me. And if there's somebody else that you feel the Spirit of God has directed you to be involved in this prayer time up here, I want you to feel free right now just to get up and come up here and join us four, right, quickly. Don't try to imagine something, but if God is speaking to you, he's speaking to your heart, I want you to come. Amen. I want you to come and join in prayer with us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. And my brother, I'd like to ask you to just come on up. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's take some of this oil. Jesus.